fights, sometimes with the ten kingdoms to the north, sometimes with other enemies surrounding Judah. But there was never any peace until one day Asa decides, hey, you know what? That prophet, Azariah, came to me and said that if I sought God, that he would let me find him and that he would help me reign this kingdom and things would be good. Now, this took approximately 10 years. Talk about being thick-skulled. This is how we know that if Asa would have been around during the Christian dispensation, he would have been a Christian, because it didn't sink in real quick. Okay? It had to come to him after some time. And it actually says there in the New American Standard Version that the people became distressed. Now, can you imagine a nation that doesn't have God at its forefront? We're getting closer, America. There's repentance that needs to take place. Back to our lesson. That they were distressed. And in their distress, it caused them to seek out the Lord. Now, I would think as a leader that when the people start to say, we need to seek the Lord, that would make your job even easier. You know, instead, but so Asa, he gets on board. So he's had 10 years of turmoil, 10 years of battling. And he gets to this point where they're in a war, they're in a battle with Ethiopia. And they are a mighty army, mighty in men, mighty in horses, mighty in chariots. And that brings us then to our text. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 6 and 7. And nation was crushed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But here's what was told to Asa. But you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work. A few years ago, that was our theme verse for camp. Kids might have a shirt. I believe it was the yellow shirt, if you remember that. But that was our key text, that there is a reward for your work. Don't we all love a reward for our work? Right? Last time I checked, you know, Nick, you probably don't go to work for free. No, you expect a reward. Andrew, you expect a reward. Right, Ryan? You expect a reward. We're all kind of there on the same page. But this here, Asa is being told that there is a reward for your work. So what do you think he's talking about? See, what we need to understand is that Asa is the king of God's people. He's got a pretty important job to try to lead them towards their Savior. Now, as we see this, that there is a reward for your work. And so as we go through, and if you have time this week, take a glance through, it just take you 5 to 10 minutes or so to read 2 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16, and you'll get pretty much the whole insight to what's going on here with Asa. But as we made mention, Asa was that third king in Judah. So what this means is that after the split of the nation that it went from civil war to the north and to the south, and the 10 tribes went to the north, and Benjamin and Judah went to the south. This is where he is. Actually, he would be in the line of David. He'd be in the line of Solomon. And we see they're also in the line of Rehoboam then, and Israel with Jeroboam to the north. So he was this third king of Judah. One of the things that's early and quickly mentioned about Asa as the king is that he is known as a man of integrity. This is why I decided to pick this man for this lesson today, is because he is known as a man of integrity, and yet chapter 16 spends the time talking about two of his major blunders. And yet, even though he had major blunders in his life, it still gives reference that he was good and right in the sight of his God. Now, I know all you guys are a lot better off than I am as far as your conduct. You're better Christians. But I, as I read that, I am thankful that I can try to do things, do good things, and still mess up, and yet, in the mind of God, I'm still doing what is good and right in the sight of Him. I am thankful that even though I may try to do things that will be uplifting to the kingdom, the church, that as I try to do things to help one another, encourage one another to be faithful servants in the kingdom, in the church, that even if we make a mistake, God doesn't spit us out. Can we get an amen? For I'm pretty sure all of us, even though we've been washed clean, buried with Him in baptism, arise to walk in a new life, still have struggles. And maybe even some of those, as Asa did, that Asa didn't always consult the Lord when he should. But yet, remember, the Lord said he still was good and right in the sight of his God. He was a king listed with integrity there, and it shows by the length of his reign. He reigned 41 years. 41 years in the kingdom of Judah. He brought about revival. We're looking for a revival coming here in 2 weeks, right? With Jim Book. Even if you don't think you're ready for revival, he'll get you ready for revival. Okay, so we need to start preparing ourselves anyway, getting ready for revival. But it says that Asa got the land ready for revival. Oh, one thing I forgot to share, in their time of distress, it said that the reason they were time of distress is, first of all, the king didn't follow after God. The second thing was that they had no priest that was teaching in Judah at that time. Can you imagine that? If we, as today, are priests and we don't go about teaching as we should? Can you imagine that? That's what's said of Israel, or of Judah at that time. And because of that, they didn't follow the law. Leadership, the teaching, they weren't following God's word. And so as we look at that, that was a big problem for them. But Asa changes all that. It took him 10 years for it to sink in, but he decides that we're going to have revival, that we're going to give God the glory, that we're going to praise Him, that we're going to seek Him out, and He's going to let us find Him, and we're going to praise Him. And in doing so, you cannot praise God and then live like the world. Asa tells them then, we need to praise God, give Him the glory. We, the kingdom of Judah, are going to have a revival, And in doing so, we are going to get rid of all paganism. This is the state religion at the time. This is what most of the native people of Judah, God's chosen people, are falling into denominationalism, paganism. As he removes that from Judah and Benjamin, in the meantime, to the north, over this 41-year period that Asa is reigning, they go through 7 different kings. Long-lived terms. Some due to assassinations and killings and God taking their lives early, things of that nature. But they go through 7 different kings in Israel. And this is what's referred to as the golden era of Judah. And we even see that the tribes from Ephraim and Manasseh to the north start to look and see what is going on. See, when God's word is taught, when God's word is preached, when God's word is promoted, when people start to live God's word, it will impact cities, countries, and nations around us. And that's exactly what starts to happen. As I said, Ephraim and Manasseh, they see it and they're like, we want that. See, when true Christianity is promoted, when only the glorification of Jesus Christ and our Father which art in heaven is uplifted, when we live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, people around us will see that. And they will want to glorify the Lord because of it. Same thing happened here in the situation with Asa and the tribes to the north. But as we pointed out, there were 2 times in Asa's life that he asked for secular help. And it wasn't that so much that he asked for secular help, but it was that he refused godly help. That he refused godly help. And so as we look at this, Asa, in his first 10 years, things are kind of rough. Battles, war, uneasiness. But then in that 10th year, when Asa becomes zealous, that means overexcited, that he's at top desire in maintaining the worship of God. This means as he got together with those that were of his high council, that as he listens to the word of God, as he listens to Azariah, and they're saying, here's what needs to happen. Everything that you have been neglecting. King, first, you set the example of following God. Asa says, I can do that. He says, you need to restore the teaching in Israel. So I got thinking about this, and I didn't really find any answer. But stop and consider if there were no priests teaching in Judah. What question first crosses your mind? Here's what crossed my mind. So what in the world were they doing? But yet, remember, as was shared this morning in our opening devotion, that we are those priests today. Do you think that perhaps God looks down at his priest today and says, so what are they doing? What are they doing? Here's my law. Here's my word. There's the priests, but it's not getting taught. And so Asa, he's excited. He finally realizes the power that comes with being obedient to God. And we're not just talking about a worldly power of reigning as a king. Now, God helped to promise them in that. But we're talking about what real success is. Not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. Being a follower of his. This is what excited him. As we said, he started revival in their town. He was rooting out idolatry, and he was rooting out immorality. Because as Nick shared in his Sunday school class today, when we put anything above God, we have made that an idol. And yet, we live in a country, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But as we do live in that, make sure that we do not seek to worship the creature or the creation more than we do the Creator. Azariah wanted to get back to worshiping God. He sought God out. God let him find him. And for the next 26 years, there was peace in Judah. Peace. No fighting internally. No fighting externally around those outside of them. But 26 years of peace. Sounds like all's going well, don't it? We say if it's not broke, don't fix it. Right? And all of a sudden, Ben-Hadad, king of Israel, or excuse me, Baasha, king of Israel, decides he's going to go to war from the north against Judah and Benjamin. So Asa, isn't it funny how when it comes to what God does for us, how short our memory is? God had helped them to begin this time of peace 26 years ago. Battle Zerah, king of Aram, that's who we'll get to look at. When he was at Ethiopia, Zerah was at Ethiopia, with more horsemen and more power, more soldiers. But God helped Judah prevail. And so now, Asa, with just Judah and Benjamin, hears the attack from the north, from the king, Baasha, says, I need help. I need help. And so who do you think he would go to? Who would be your first? So you haven't had a war in 26 years. And the last war that you had, God helped you win. So who do you think he would go to for help? You're absolutely right, the king of Aram. Why would he do that? Why would he seek there? And here's what he does then. He takes money from the treasury, from the people of Judah. He takes money and sacred, dedicated items from the temple and uses this to bribe King Ben-Hadad from Aram to help protect Judah instead of seeking the Lord. Why would he do that? I think we're all guilty of forgetting the Lord instead of making him our first resource. Sometimes we make him our last resort. So anyway, then, a man by the name of Hananiah comes to the prophet, comes to Asa, and says, Asa, what were you thinking? Shame on you. You should have relied on God and not man. Why did you do this thing? And Asa, like a good king of Judah should do, threw Hananiah in prison. He should have repented, but he chose to throw Hananiah in prison. And in doing so then, to prove his point, how mad he was, we take it out on other people when we get told we're wrong. He grabs up all sorts of different people from Judah and from Benjamin and throws them in prison and tortures them as well. Just because he's the king, and who are you to question the king? Got a little ego going there in 26 years, it sounds like. And Asa kind of rebounds from this. Kind of gets back right standing. And so he starts to do what the Lord wants for him to do again, and the Lord sends a prophet, Azariah, to him, the son of Oded, is a wise man and a prophet, and he comes exhorting and encouraging Asa. And this is where we need to look at this as we are Asa, that even though we might mess up, God still uses his messengers and his word to encourage us, to strengthen us, to bring us back, to encourage us, to exhort us, to lift us up. God only wants what's best for us. And so in this meantime, when he is encouraged to obey the law again, remember before when they did away with paganism, now it's almost as if Asa digs in real deep again, real good. He's doing great. He destroys all the idols of Baal and all the Asherahs. And get this, even in doing so, the queen mother, now commentaries aren't 100% sure if this is his mother or his grandmother, but either way, she is a big Ashtoreth worshiper. And in doing so, guess what? He says to Grandma, Grandma, you're wrong. We're getting rid of all these statues and these idols and we're tearing them down. And if you don't like it, we can get rid of you too. Now, how many have tried that on their grandma? Right? Daniel Reese. Right? And so as we look at that and we see this, because at that time, it didn't matter who it was. If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Asa was standing his ground. As a matter of fact, they decide to have a celebration. They rededicate the temple. They kill 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep, and they have this great party. And then Asa does it again. He gets a painful disease in his feet. You thought I was going to say painful disease in his loins, didn't you? For all you Tim Hawkins fans. No. Painful disease in his feet. Couldn't walk. Got painful. Last 2 years of his life. And it says that instead of asking God for help, he turned to the physicians. So, right there. my excuse for never going to the doctor. Right? That's not a good excuse for not going to the doctor. Right? But what he's saying is, why can't we consult God in the matter to help us out? Not saying that it was wrong to seek their advice. It was wrong to only seek their advice and not the will of God. And so as we look at this, and then he dies. Painful disease, 2 years, makes a co-regent with his son. His son then becomes king. He dies. And yet we are still reminded of the words that the Lord said about him. He was good and right in the sight of his Lord. They buried him with honor, with the great kings of Israel, of Judah. God said that he was full of integrity. And so aren't you thankful? I am. That even as Asa made some blunders in his life and maybe did some things he ought not to do, put people in prison, tortured them, did not listen to messengers of God, and yet God still said he is good and righteous in the sight of his Lord. Now, what I want for us to remember is go back to our verse. Not the nation crushes nation, but that there is a reward for your work. This is for us today. Put Asa aside now. Matthew 25, 21 says, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I like how yesterday Josh shared that, I think it was Josh that said, Grandpa didn't worry about the bad things that could happen. He only looked to the good things that could happen. Now, what I want to say with that is Jesus is disappointed when the bad things happen. But because he loves us so much, he's not going to kick us to the curb either. And so he wants us to do is to be faithful in those things. Will we mess up? Yes. But remember, even the one that messed up while trying to do it still was trying to do something. Try to do something. Even if you mess up, God will understand. It's those that do nothing. No reward for your work because there was no work. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, at the end of it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Church, be faithful, not just today, but for every day until the Lord calls us home. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. You want to be with Jesus? Amen? Then overcome. Then be with him. And I will also, and as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. We get to sit down with the Father. We get to sit down with Jesus. We get to be with him. Why? 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. But you be strong. Church, do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to begin that work. Believe in Jesus Christ and who he is. Repent of your sin, the sin that put him on the cross. Repent of that and walk away from that. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. By the way we live our life, let the world know I am a Christian. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Be engulfed in him. Let his love surround you. Let the word take us and lead us as it needs to. And then live our life faithfully. As we already looked, faithful until death. We pray that we'll be faithful unto death or until the Lord returns. But why be faithful? Because we'll be rewarded for our work. Matthew Henry says, in his commentary, that the Christian needs to go about their work with diligence and cheer. and holding back no resolution for our reward, isn't it, in doing the work that God has asked us to do already? That doing the good that God has asked us to do is its own reward. Church, go out and earn that reward. Work for that reward. Not saying we have to work for our salvation, but we ought to be working our heads off because Jesus allowed us the opportunity to be saved and to wear his name. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus, we encourage you, let today be your day of salvation. Let today be the day that you begin your work and you complete it only when you have your last breath or the Lord has come. Be faithful to him. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?